Welcome to episode 23 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an evolutionary astrologer, medium, and channel, currently talking at you from southern Arizona. So I have a lot to tell you today. I have two listener charts to come in a few minutes, but first I want to tell you about two things. The first is the new Chiron audio course. It's a 10-hour MP3 course. It is just about available. I'm taking pre-orders right now. So today is September 29th. What I'm doing is I'm taking pre-orders until October 11th. So that's when the pre-orders close, October 11th, and then I will start sending out via email the MP3 files for those who have bought it. So when you pre-order the course, the entire course, there are two options, by the way. The first one is the entire course, that's the 10 hours of audio, and the pre-ordering it is $80. The second option is the first almost 2 hours, which is the introduction about 2012 and where we are now and learning about ourselves as energetic beings, plus the section on myth and archetype, which is really, really valuable to understand more about Chiron and how we've been taught to think about it versus how the Ascended Masters I work with are really encouraging us to learn about Chiron and think about it. So that option's $20 for the pre-order. When you pre-order the entire course, I'm including one monthly Skype class call because I'm going to be doing monthly calls so that people who've heard the course can put the information to good use because you're getting a lot of information in 10 hours and I really want it to become practical, you know, so people can have practical opportunities to do that with me. So pre-ordering it gets one of those class calls included. And the other perk of pre-ordering the entire course is that I'm having the course transcribed. And you will, if you pre-order by October 11th, you'll be getting a copy of that. So check out my site, tdjacobs.com, and on the store page there's a blurb about all the Chiron course, plus an attached PDF that includes all of the details. So if you want to do that, check that out, tdjacobs.com/store.html, and you'll find the Chiron course listing. So I'm really excited about the Chiron course. I've spent a lot of energy the last 2.5 years channeling this information and then putting it into use with clients and students and myself, but then also figuring out how to articulate it as a teaching for astrology students and other astrologers. So that's really what this course represents or is, and I'm really excited about this. Also, so if you hear this before October 3rd, Sunday the 3rd, I'm going to be on Deborah Clemens Anchored in Astrology talking about the course, so you can get some insights into that. And even if you miss that, you can find her show archived in iTunes, and I think on this site as well, you can do a search for her. I'm also doing a giveaway. A drawing for a giveaway of the complete Chiron course. You can email me at tom@tdjacobs.com with the subject Chiron drawing. You don't have to include anything else in the email if you don't want, but do that and I'll enter you in the drawing. Do that before October 9th and I will announce the winner on October 10th. And if you do pre-order the course and then you enter and you win, I will refund you the cost of the course. So don't withhold pre-ordering just in case you win the thing. But so anyway, that Chiron drawing open till October 9th, and I'll announce the winner on October 10th. So that's the first thing, pre-ordering the Chiron course. Extremely exciting. The second thing to tell you about is that basically no matter what I've been doing, this podcast has had some issues in iTunes, and I'm just, with Saturn transiting my Venus right now, I'm really getting... how do you say this in a positive way? I am carefully evaluating my willingness to spend more time than the 10 weeks I've already spent trying to get it fixed going forward. Basically, if you have subscribed to it before about 10 weeks ago, it shows up when I do a new episode. If you didn't, it doesn't show up in the directory. You can't find it. So right now I'm kind of talking to the people who are already subscribed. There's no possibility for people to find it and subscribe to it as new listeners. It's very frustrating. I'm trying to figure it out. I spent a lot of energy the last 10 weeks on this. So if you, here's the action item. If you notice that there are no more episodes after episode 23, check my site. See what I'm saying about this, because I will either start up another podcast through a different blog, or I'll try to figure it out, because I know that this is really valuable. That you guys have been letting me know, over the last couple of years, how much you've gotten out of this information, this work, and how I do the astrology. So I definitely want to continue to do something along these lines, but it might not be in this particular podcast. Worst case scenario, I do another separate one. Separate feed, separate blog, maybe a separate title, and you just have to resubscribe to it. That would be the worst case scenario. Okay, so I think those are my announcements. So I want to move on to the first listener question. Her name is Elka. Her birth data, she was born June 28th, 1973, at 3:30 p.m. in, I might be pronouncing this incorrectly, but I would say Asse, Belgium. It's Asse, and then Belgium. Elka writes, .. The title of her email is, Should I Jump? And basically she has an opportunity to, she feels like she's at a fork in the road, and I'm going to summarize the email that she sent me and say that she's basically being forced with this question of what the next chapter in her life is going to look like, from going from a corporate kind of self, a corporate kind of living and the way of making money and having a home and pouring a lot of resources into that, to perhaps selling that and taking some travel on in order to explore something new, perhaps do something like travel writing as a result of this trip these travels. And so she just wanted me to look at her chart and kind of, I think she's been listening to the podcast enough to know that I don't do prediction or really give advice, but I am going to point out to her the kinds of invitations and opportunities that are present right now, which I think will support her in making her decision when the time comes. There are actually a number of points to talk about, so I'm going to touch on several things without spending a ton of time on any one of them. One of the first things to note is that you're having your second transiting lunar nodal return, meaning the transiting north node is now conjunct your natal north node, and the south node is conjunct your south node. So, yeah, these are always feel like turning point moments, and they'll happen around age 18 and a half, right around age 36, something like that. That cycle is about 18.6 years of the nodes making their way all the way around the wheel. And when this happens, we naturally get confronted with, am I going to do the kinds of things I have done and used to do, or am I going to break out into something new? Underlying whatever the opportunity is growth. So just really briefly, Elka's south node is in Cancer in the ninth house. Just looking at this idea of the south node being in Cancer, there is an element of security. She also mentions in her email that people in her life think she's nuts. The idea of dropping everything, selling the house, and moving, that it's absolutely crazy. So there's a south node thing about the south node in Cancer being interested and concerned with security. The other thing to note is that Elka's sun is in the sign of Cancer right on that south node. So there's a lot of emphasis in being in the mode of Cancer. When I look at the south node ruler moon, it's in Gemini in the 8th house, and that's just naturally going to be somebody who's very attuned to listening to the opinions of other people and valuing them. Basically, south node ruler in Gemini in the 8th house is really focused on the most important, the closest life relationships. And friends, family, mates, we're kind of really focused on that, and there's a real emphasis on communication and hearing what other people say, and naturally, as a consequence, many times, valuing what they have to say. One other thing just to note is that you have Neptune, Elka, you have Neptune in the second house, and it's opposed this moon. So what this says is that in your karmic past, you, as you kind of function in this Gemini 8th house way, you are opposed by Neptune, retrograde Neptune in the second house. So that's going to be, that's going to generate over time some issues about you fearing having safety and security. Neptune's in the house of money, and that's opposing you in your various lives. So you have kind of a difficult relationship with that surrender that Neptune asks us to do. I think that your excitement about this possibility has in some way to do with the nodal return, so that you can kind of sense there's a fork in the road, but also with, you know, I think that you're just kind of opening up to allowing that Neptune to have a bigger voice, that faith in your resources, faith in your skills. You know, Neptune's also with Ceres, so there's a call for you to, you know, as you open up, as you go with this Neptune business, you will feel nurtured. You need to nurture yourself regarding how it is that you make money and why, second house stuff. Because each of these is retrograde, and also Juno is there, the asteroid Juno, and she's retrograde as well. These three retrograde opposing the South Node ruler, it's a real call that you have to figure out what is important to you. You can listen to the words other people use. You can accept that they are concerned about your safety and your future and even your sanity in this case. You can be appreciative of that and yet trust your inner instincts. Major, major opportunity for you right now. Which actually, because this is affecting the karmic setup in your chart, is a lifelong pattern that you have the opportunity now to change. The other thing I want to mention is conjunct this third house Capricorn North node is true black moon Lilith in Capricorn in the second house, and Pluto is transiting that. So at the same time as you have the nodal return, transiting Pluto is on that Lilith, wanting you to revolutionize or tear down what doesn't work about that Lilith and do something new. Lilith in the second needs to trust her instincts about resources. Lilith connects us. If you've been listening to my work, you're conscious that of my perspective on Lilith is that we, by honoring our instincts, by connecting to the visceral animal part of ourselves that knows our personal truth and knows what is right for us, that as we connect with that part of ourselves, we open up a door into connecting with nature, connecting with the earth, you know, connecting with the animal world, but feeling an extension of nature, which is actually our appropriate place. You know, that's who we are. We are part of nature. We're part of the natural world. So how we, you know, Lilith themes include how we treat our bodies, how we experience sexuality, how we explore equality within relationships, and how we trust our inner instincts and guidance. So because that's on your North Node natally, you haven't gotten to do that very much. That's a karmic blind spot for you. It's something you haven't done. So Pluto's there saying, this is real. Your instinct is real. And as Pluto is on Lilith and, you know, near the North Node, it's opposing the Sun. So the person inside you who is running the meeting inside your head, the CEO inside you, is being challenged by Pluto to start incorporating more about what Lilith has to offer. You know, you can look up other, you know, you can explore other things that I have. You can just do search on the web, Lilith Tom Jacobs. You'll find articles here and there if you want to know more about my perspective on Lilith and haven't encountered that before. I also have four chapters in her on the in the Living Myth book that I offer through my site, and that's available through Amazon. Four chapters on the archetypal process of how we live her stories. It will help you connect to her the themes in a more direct, practical way than me just saying instinct, nature, etc. And the other thing to mention for you is that the progressed moon for you is just entering Scorpio and it's a few degrees away, 4 degrees away from your ascendant. So I think part of this story is also this, you know, you're sensing this leap, is also that as a progressed moon has gone through the 12th house, you know you're wrapping something up. You know you're surrendering things that don't really work or don't really reflect who you are. And this progressed moon going over your ascendant in a few months will ask you, it will feel unavoidable from the inside out, that you have to leap into something. You have to take a personal risk and assert yourself and assert what's important to you and act, do something. So again, I didn't do prediction, didn't tell you what you should do, but I did want to put in context all these different pressures, you know, all these different questions that are coming up. Yeah, I got one more thing at least. I just just one more thing. Another thing is this Uranus Jupiter. While they're now in late Pisces and they're not, you know, really, they're kind of coming out of orb of this Pluto. When they stationed, you know, was that 4, 6, 8 weeks ago? In early Aries, they're opposing your Pluto. So your Pluto's in the 11th house, and that has to do with what the future looks like. So this Uranus-Jupiter stuff, when they go direct in a bit, you can look up that in ephemeris, but they will ask you to take a risk in order to enjoy life, 5th house, take a risk that will move your future in the direction you want it to, opposing that 11th house Pluto. So that's something that's kind of happening as well. Let me just look, because maybe there's one more thing that has not jumped out yet. No, I think that's what I got for you right now. I mean, you know, all these things adding up together make me see clearly, you know, make me understand why you feel like this risk, this leap is really important. And I think it's going to really come down to if, like, why you want to make the risk, why you would want to do this. Look at, I mean, this kind of gets out of the realm of astrology, but as far as spirituality and being human, I'll share this with you. If it's about a fear that you don't want your life to crystallize in an unfortunate way or an unhappy way, that's one thing, that's fear. Don't do it because of that. But if you want the adventure, you know, if you want the expansive opportunity that this can present, let other people's concern for you be what it is, and trust your instinct. The last thing, yeah, is to mention is your progressed ascendant just went into Scorpio recently. Sorry, it went into Sagittarius. And so there's another part of that you just naturally feeling like you need to make a leap. So thanks for writing. It's a great question. It brings in a lot of different aspects of what's going on in the chart. So that's great. Thanks, Elka. The second listener question comes from Dana. She sounds like a giant fan of the podcast, and I love hearing that. I really appreciate that a lot. And her question has to do with what she's been experiencing. Well, she frames it the nature of her marriage, like what's been going on. She says they have different, real different priorities. Sounds like Dana's been moving towards some spiritual stuff, while her husband is more oriented towards the material, practical, you know, being a good father and husband, supporting, you know, and they just kind of sounds like they're living with different priorities, and she's wondering if they're holding each other back, or if they're moving each other forward, or both, and how can they know? So she also says they're both being as honest as they can with each other, and they really do care about each other and cherish each other. So let me give you Dana's data, and we'll go from there. December 2nd, 1966, that's 1966. Time is 12:10 p.m. City is Buffalo, New York. Dana gave me the option of including her husband's chart as well, but I'm really going to focus on her chart here and talk about the relationship dynamics, and it is a karmic deal for her because of where Pluto is. Pluto's in the 7th, and it's also part of a stellium. It's wrapped up with some other things. So I am going to do some intuitive stuff here too, but it's all going to be based on what I see in the chart. Something that you're not aware of yet, dear listener, is that I have been I've been doing some channeling of some ascended masters I work with, specifically Jehudi and Thoth, about marriage, relationships, karma, karmic relationships, relationship karma, and stuff like that. The first part of that is available on my site, and there are two more parts that I'm considering how to edit them in the appropriate way. And so there'll be a series on basically love, sex, marriage for karma, and given the paradigm shift that we're experiencing from the Piscean age into this beginning of the transition to the Aquarian age. So I'll probably bring a couple of those points in here now. But that part, that thing on my site actually has three little samples you can listen to. You can get a feel for what it's about. But so let's just jump in. The first thing to note with Dana is her south node's in Scorpio in the eighth house. That's the first thing. You know, she has a lot of karmic experience being oriented towards what people share together. And her first reaction with an intimate relationship is going to, you know, be really conscious of, are we on the same page? And if not, is that a problem? And, you know, that Dana's going to be very, very attuned to all of this with the South Node and Scorpio in the 8th. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes with this nodal setup, but that's kind of the first thing that jumps out at me. Square Dana's nodes are a couple of things. One is asteroid Juno in Leo in the 6th, and that's conjunct Moon in Leo in the 6th. The Jupiter is actually more than 11 degrees out of the square, so I'm not going to count that, but I am counting this Moon at 9 degrees square, and the Juno, which is, you know, 2.5, something like that, 1.5. So Juno Moon together indicate that in Dana's emotional makeup, there's a real element of wanting to be steadfast and commit to things. This is in the sixth house, so this is about experiencing commitment and emotional life with responsibility as a sense of duty, you know. But because it's square the nodes, this is an unresolved issue. So this is kind of one of the kernels, one of the cores that comes up in Dana's question with two people who are committed to each other, but really kind of moving at different speeds in different directions, kind of, you know, this question naturally is going to come up because the being on the same page together is part of, you know, the happiness that we have when we are in committed partnership. So I'm going to talk a little about this Pluto configuration that involves about half the chart. When you come down to this T-square. So Pluto's at 20 Virgo in the seventh house. It's conjunct the asteroid Lucifer. It's conjunct Uranus, and it's conjunct Mars in late Virgo, also in the seventh house. And so that stellium has a lot to do with the soul's journey. Dana's soul says, I'm going to go learn how to be empowered by choosing, Virgo, the right kinds of relationships. Seventh house. And Mars and Uranus are mixed in there. So there's an element of needing to have the relationships that she does choose serve a higher purpose. There's kind of a Uranus forward-looking kind of thing. And also Mars having it, you know, there being a space where action, activity, and honesty are really welcomed. The Lucifer in there says the intention has to do with having these relationships, like to be of service in these relationships. So this kind of, and also the Virgo idea has to do with this intention to be of service as well. Now these are opposed, Saturn, Chiron, Chiron's retro, and these are in Pisces in the first. And so, you know, and it's also square the Venus in Sagittarius in the 10th. So karmically speaking, the setup here is that while Dana's soul intends to learn about choosing relationships in a certain way and also taking the right amount of responsibility within relationship, you know, for how it's going, etc., she is in different ways opposed or blocked or confronted by Chiron Saturn issues from first house people, you know, in Piscean ways. And so I think that how Dana is approaching this question is really great, and how she's approaching the dynamic in the marriage is really great. Absolute honesty, being open, because the ways that you guys and I have looked at his chart before in another context, doing some other work for Dana, but I'm not looking at it right now. But I do just remember kind of a focus on the practicality and, you know, kind of a focus on that. I think I've got Pluto and Virgo in the second house, if I remember correctly. And so there's a lot of focus on survival issues, you know, a lot of focus on that kind of basic groundwork stuff. In this context, her husband's going to show up as kind of a Chiron Saturn figure, in some way wounded. And so she has to learn how to live under the same roof with him and not be derailed, like, because that's one of the things that can happen when we experience an opposition karmically, like, you know, an opposition in the chart that manifests in our lives, I should say it that way. So Dana, don't be derailed by the fact that you're not on the same page. Because you got married and came together and had kids, you have soul/karmic contracts together. Are you, you know, learning from each other or holding each other back? I think that for you karmically, this kind of dynamic is actually very beneficial because you get to see what your expectations and relationship are. So your husband is therefore a teacher for you as regards your Pluto placement. He's a teacher for you. You are learning what it means to be together and how to manage that, Virgo in the seventh house. So I think that he's a great teacher for you in that. I think that you're a great teacher for him for his own reasons. And if I had tied his, that's why I didn't tie in his chart, because then this podcast would be 3 hours long. Just a lot of, you know, details, a lot of stuff to look at. But basically, in whatever way, he either shows up as, you know, a Venus squaring your Pluto, or as Chiron Saturn opposing your Pluto, for you to unwind and unravel the tensions and the knots. And if I remember correctly, you've been together, I want to say 15-ish years, but it could be longer than that. I could be misremembering, but a long time. This dynamic is an opportunity for you to learn more and more and more about the soul's intention that you carry, which is to learn about how to manage, how to take an active role in relationship that really does focus on absolute honesty. I don't have a crystal ball, and I, even if I did, you know, I wouldn't tell you. But so I don't know what's going to happen, what you guys are going to choose. But I think that for you not to be stressed that you guys are really doing kind of different playbooks, I think for you not to be stressed about that, but to be really appreciative of how that particular dynamic with him stirs all these questions in you. Because I'll just tell you, these are your karmic learnings. These are your karmic lessons. How can I have a relationship with someone that I love and really cherish, who's really not headed in the same direction as me? Well, these are Virgo seventh questions. And the tension that is in there, right, the tension that is coming up for you, in your reaction to that tension, your feelings, all the questions that you could ask, all of the details that you want to consider, that's like analyzing that stuff without going overboard. I also get the feeling that you're not untethered, you're not ungrounded. But really going into that is part of that Virgo seventh education that you signed up to learn. Now, in some lives, when you hit this point, you're mortified that you got into a relationship. You know, I'm not telling you about your past lives. I want to give you the thematic idea. Let's say in some life you got married to somebody you care about, but you're really, you know, not moving in the same direction or not at the same speed. That kind of, you know, real different life priorities. And you might kick yourself for marrying the wrong guy. So that's obviously a worst case. That's obviously something I don't want you to do. But to understand in what ways the dynamic as it has grown over the years and has arisen and continues to make you question what's going on, that is actually really important karmic learning. Now, also on the process with this square from Juno moon in the sixth to the nodes, this might be an indicator for you that you overcommit to scenarios that don't work for you. I'm going to trust you to know what exactly, like how, if this is one of those relationships. If it is not, I would wager that when you were, you know, a teenager in your 20s, that you got, you know, into relationships and were more or less kind of committed kind of person and found out that they were the wrong kinds of relationships. And those would be kind of a karmic thematic repeat of that kind of thing. So, but I'm going to leave you to evaluate whether it, you know, what's going on. as you guys have such different priorities and you care about each other and are committed to each other, that just says to me that, you know, the particular kind of karmic teachers you are for each other. It's really easy. Here I am now. I'm going. I know that you'll appreciate it. I just didn't want to spend 4 hours on this, but I got more to say about this relationship stuff. With this moon Juno square the nodes and the south node in Scorpio eighth and Pluto Uranus Mars Lucifer in the seventh, it is really important for you. And also Venus square the Pluto, all these things. It is really important. For you to understand why you create the relationships that you create. So that would be the primary, how do you say it? The primary body of the text of the contract that that you guys have as souls. We tend to have certain ideas about what our partnerships should look like, what our marriages, you know, should look like what kinds of partnerships work for us. Well, with this moon Juno square the nodes, Pluto in the seventh, south node in the eighth, you, Dana, are learning more about that. You're learning to individuate more. You're learning to ask yourself hard questions and to look around and really evaluate what's going on instead of going with the flow, going with the norm. Again, the Pluto is with Uranus in the seventh. So there's a call that you need to, you know, learn how new levels of creating freedom within relationship. So thank you for writing in with that, for writing in with that question. Actually, there's one more thing. I just want to point out to you that as your progressed moon in now it's about 19 Pisces. It's going to come up to conjunct the retro Chiron and the Saturn in Pisces first and oppose this Pluto, etc. This whole stellium in the seventh. And I think that you know the immediate focus of the moment, progressed moon in the first, is to have a real consciousness of who you are, what you need, what you expect. You know, where it is that you're headed, what you need to do to take care of yourself, all these things with the progressed moon in the first. But as it hits this, well, as it activates this T square, really directly activating this opposition between these bodies in the first and seventh, this question of the emotions surrounding all of this stuff, all of these themes need to come into conscious awareness. So spend some time opening up to feeling how you feel about all of these dynamics. You don't have to make any decisions. There's no decision to make probably, but feel. Be willing to gain conscious awareness of all of these things, including the, you know, situation X or dynamic X in this relationship doesn't work, and that's a real problem for me. Become aware. The primary tool for you right now is becoming aware of all of the feelings surrounding these issues. There's a lot of karma in here for you. There's a lot of past life knots and blocks and bruises surrounding relationships. Yeah, so I'm going to invite you to just become as conscious as possible about all that stuff. So thank you for writing in with that question. I hope that that answer gives you some good stuff to go on, and thanks also for your wonderful comments about the podcast. So that brings us to the end of episode 23 of Unraveling Karma. My name is Tom Jacobs, evolutionary astrologer, medium channel on the web at tdjacobs.com. I'm available for one-on-one private readings. I also do ongoing coaching. Once someone has a reading, he or she can evaluate if they want to step deeply into these themes. Coaching can involve astrology, if you're into that. It doesn't have to. It's basically intuitive coaching where I'm bringing through information from your guides. I'm showing you how to see your life as the ascended masters, the angels, and your spirit guides and your higher self and soul see your life. And that really, really gives people a chance to reorient how patterns work in their lives. And also, just to let you know, just to remind you, check out that Chiron course. 10 hours of MP3s about the Aquarian Age approach to Chiron that you can see at a higher level of consciousness on the planet now and actually come out of woundedness, come out of victimhood, which has not yet been a part of Chiron teachings on this planet. So, really excited about that. Check that out on my site, tdjacobs.com. Thank you for listening.